and we want to, stand and know that we are being righteous, that we are doing what God has called us to do. Just know that someone, something is going to stand in our way at some point. So we have to be ready for it. We have to expect it, right? And here's where it gets tricky, right? Here's where it gets tricky, because when these people are doing those things, we think, wow, they don't care for me. They don't have my best intention. They are not trying to help me. So I don't care about them. That's the attitude of our heart. That's the attitude that we get into, right? We say, well, if they don't care about me, I don't care about them. Well, let's go look at the word. What does the word say? Matthew 5, 43 to 45, it says, you have heard the law that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you in the way that you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. So love your neighbor and hate your enemy was the law that they had. But Jesus says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Praying for someone is to care for them. Praying for someone is to show love for them. And so Jesus is saying, hey, you have to care for these same people that might not like you, that they're causing suffering in your life. But he's telling you that you must love them just the same, just as that, you know, that the sunlight is for both the evil and for the good, and that the rain is for the just and the unjust. If we want to be true children of heaven, true children of God, we have to accept this. We have to accept this, that we need to pray for those people. Because what's the point of what we're doing? The point of our life is to make disciples. And in order for us to make disciples, we need them to hear the truth. So what do we need to do? We need to pray for a change in their heart, pray for a change in their mind, so that they can receive the truth that we have, that we can give to them, so that they can have the same things that we do. It just doesn't compute in our minds, because we're like, well, they don't like me. They're not with me. They don't believe the same thing. So we just write it off. When in reality, we should actually be focusing more on them, because we know that lives are at stake, souls are at stake when we're talking about the kingdom of heaven. So all this to say is that we need to suffer well, right? We need to suffer well. We need to do this in a way that we know that it's not going to be forever. And we saw in the scripture that it says that it would only last for 10 days. So it's saying that it's temporary. Suffering is temporary. It will come and it will go. There's an end to it, right? And sometimes we're in the middle of something and we're like, this is never going to end. It's never going to stop. But Jesus is saying here that it's temporary. Again, he's showing his control. He's showing that he has control, because he can tell it when to stop and when to start. He's telling them that, again, to remind them of what he's in control of, that he is in control of this. And again, we're reminded in 2 Corinthians 4:17, where it says, for our light and momentary troubles, momentary, meaning not permanent, momentary, it's just for a brief temporary point in time. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. We have an eternal glory that far outweighs all of the suffering that we have. All of the suffering. Think about it. Think about times that we've suffered. Think about times that we've gone through these hard times, but then when we get out of it, just the amazing things that happen. The clearest example, I see a lot of them in the room, are babies, right? Moms, you suffered. You went through it. It was tough. I've never done it, but you've gone through it. It's hard, okay? You suffered. But how amazing is the moment that you hold your baby in your arms for the very first time? That's the equivalent of this. We're going to suffer in life, but we have this glory, this eternal glory that we're going to receive that far outweighs all of that suffering. Amen? So Jesus tells the troubles and the suffering when time is up, when it's been enough, and when he's going to bring us into a better place, when there isn't that suffering. So he tells it when to start and to stop. But then suffering also is testing, okay? You know, we talk about being tested, and we say, you know, God wants us to be tested, and we got to prove ourselves. We got to try, okay? But hardship tests our faith. If we want to know how strong we are in the faith, we need testing in our life. right? If we want to know how physically fit we are, do we just stand here and say I'm physically fit? Or would he go? Do we go do something that tests our body? We're going to test our body and say, wow, I actually am really physically fit. Or if you're like me and Paul yesterday, I was like, wow, I'm not physically fit trying to run around North Park. Okay, but we're going to put it to the test. It has to prove something. We have to prove something in the testing. And what God wants to do is he wants to prove our faithfulness. He wants to increase our faithfulness. Because there's a purifying and there's a refining when it comes to being tested. Think about it. When you have gold that's just in the ground, it has value. They pull it out. It's valuable. But when it's refined and then made into jewelry, the value increases. But that refining process with fire, right, and some other things, that refining process creates more value. So when we have the suffering in our life, we're going through it, we're being refined by God, if we're remaining with him, we come out with more value. We come out with an increased faith. We come out with a stronger trust in him, that when the next suffering comes along, we're not going to be worried about it. We're not going to be excited about it either, but we're not going to be worried about it because we know that God's refined us. He's made us stronger, that we know that we can handle it. So we need to suffer with testing. But we do all of that because then suffering leads to triumph, as we see on the screen. And we see that in the scripture, that it talks about that crown of life. And there's several other places in scripture that we see that, one being in James chapter 1, 12, where it says, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, again, there's that test word, that person will receive the crown of faith, or sorry, the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. And then in 1 Peter 5, 4, it says, and when the great shepherd appears, you will receive a crown of never-ending glory and honor. So talking about this crown of life, talking about this never-ending glory and honor, when we remain in this, when we persevere in the suffering, we're going to receive the crown that he has for us. Think about that. Jesus is saying that he has a crown for us. The king of the universe. We know of what kings have a crown. Kings wear a crown. It signifies that they are the king, right? So we are going to receive a crown from the king of the universe. That should hold a lot of weight. That should mean a lot to us. Because we're going to get a crown from the king of the universe. We're not living for a crown here, right? Social media and just the culture tells us that we, you know, need to promote ourselves so that people can see us, that they can hear us in society. And then that would promote that we would have a crown in this world, that we, you know, strive to be the richest that we can, or we strive for these things in the world, but that's not the crown that we're chasing after. We're going after the crown for the next life. We're going after the crown that God's going to give to us. Amen? So let's not chase after the crown that the world wants us to have. Let's chase after the crown that God has for us. So as we come to a close, we're going to finish with the last scripture in Revelation. Verse 11, it says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who conquers will not be hurt by the second death. So we know that God promises an eternal victory for anyone that accepts him. We know that he wants us to have that in our life. He knows that that's ultimately what he wants, for all people to believe in him, to know who he is. But just like we talked about with Ernest Shackleton, we have to count the cost. We have to count the cost of what we're about to embark in. We have to count the cost of what it's going to look like, what it's going to be, that we are going to endure suffering, that it's not going to be easy, but that we have to remember that it's temporary, that there's a testing that's going to happen, but then there's going to be that triumph. And in verse 11, it says, we all have ears to hear. What is the Spirit saying to you today? As we sit here right now on this Sunday morning, what is the Spirit prompting in you right now? What is he saying? Are you in that suffering moment? we were like, God, where are you? Because I feel like he wants to say that I'm right here with you. That I'm right here with you. And that I'm in control. That you don't need to be. That you don't need to figure it out or try to. I'm here. I got this. I'll tell it when to stop and start. But know through this all I have good. Right? Is that what he's speaking? Or maybe there's someone speaking or someone sitting here today that you need to speak this to someone else. That you know someone that's been suffering, that is suffering through something, whether it's a diagnosis, whether it's a relationship issue, whether it's a physical ailment, something that they've been suffering through, and it just breaks your heart. It breaks your heart that they're going through this. Listen, you guys have the truth. You have power. You have power in this word. You have power in what Jesus shares in these letters to know that there is a great promise, that this suffering is temporary. You can easily share that with someone today. So what is God speaking to us? Because it says, for those that can hear, right? For anyone that can hear, let them hear what the Spirit says. Again, these letters were written to specific churches, but it's still relevant to us today. It's still relevant to us today. So what is the Spirit speaking through this scripture to us today? What will we do with this? I know that we have a call to courageous faith. That's very clear. I know that we have a call for courageous faith, that we're to remain faithful, just like the Samaritans. They remained faithful regardless of what was going on. The persecution that they were going through, everything that was happening to them, they remained faithful because they knew that that was what God wanted for them. They knew that the cost was high. It could even cost them their life. It could cost them their life. Luckily, we don't live in a country that's like that. We don't live in a place like that, but that was a real thing. If they stood up against the people of Smyrna and they said, no, I will not worship the emperor of Rome, they could die because of their profession of faith. We luckily can profess our faith and not have that fear here in the United States, but we need to remain faithful and know that the cost is high. But man, does it sound tough to do this? Does it sound tough to remain faithful? Does it sound tough to go through this suffering? But again, let's remember that there's a promise of eternal victory. That there is that promise that God has for us, that that eternal separation is gone because Jesus died on the cross. We just need to accept it. So today, if you want eternal victory, make it today that you're willing to say that I'll endure the hardship, that I am willing to persevere through any of the suffering, any of the persecution that may come, because that I know that God is good, because I know that he is faithful. So is there anyone here today that has never said that, Jesus, I am going to wholeheartedly follow you. I want to be that guy that does what you have in the word. I want to be the guy that just lives the way that you've called us to live. I want to be the guy that's not afraid of suffering because I know the promise that you have for me. You want Jesus to lead your life. Obviously, we know that we have a past. We know that we were disconnected. But we have this opportunity to come back to life, to be brought back to life because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. So we have this opportunity today. But we have to choose. We have to be willing to answer that advertisement. We have to be willing to step into it. So if there's anyone here today, I'm going to boldly ask you that if you have never made that decision to follow Jesus, I'm going to ask you right now, just raise your hand. Be bold. It's a way to show that Jesus, God, I am here to follow you. I am here to follow you. I want this for my life. So let's pray. Lord God, I thank you just for the hearts in this room. I thank you for each and every person that is made up here in this room, Lord God. Lord, for anyone that is dealing with hardship and suffering, Lord God, I pray for them specifically, Lord, that they would take this word, Lord, and that they would hold it close to their heart. Lord, that they would know that you are in it with them, that you have complete control, Lord. And as they remain faithful, Lord God, that you will see them through it, Lord God. Remind them that it is just temporary, that your testing is good for them, Lord God, and that you will triumph in this, Lord God, that they will have the eternal life that you've given to them through your son dying on the cross, Lord God. So Lord, I pray over them, Lord God, that they would be in it and that they would be willing to just go through the tough things, to endure hardship for you, Lord God. knowing that you are with them, Lord God. And Lord, for anyone here that has not made that decision to follow Christ, Lord God, I pray for them too, Lord, that through this, Lord God, that they would know and understand who you are and that you have a specific purpose and a plan on their life, Lord God, that their story is real, that the things that they have gone through and the things that they're dealing with, Lord God, that you see it, that you know it, Lord God, and that you want to restore and repair them, Lord God. So, Lord, we pray over them as they make a decision, Lord God, to follow you today, Lord, that as they leave this place, Lord God, that their mindset and just the way they view you would be completely different, Lord God. So, Lord, I pray over their life, Lord, that you would protect them, that you would guide them, that you would lead them, Lord, as they profess that they are the leader, that you are the leader in their life, Lord God, and that you have forgiven them for their past, Lord. So, Lord, help them to accept you in a real way today. Lord God, we thank you, we love you, we give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise, and it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen, amen. Jess, come on up and close us up.